then maybe that's a different kind of conference. This is really to take the principles that we agree upon, principles of justice and dignity and freedom of movement for all people, and to think about making them possible. Just like the encuentros in Chiapas and that have happened in indigenous regions all over the world, we want people to share their experiences from their backgrounds, from their stories, their communities, and stories of the Border Patrol or the police or racism, and how different struggles across different regions can come together to really build a movement against the Minutemen and against the border. Oh, en español también, sí. Y no queremos estar aquí para discutir el policías de los Minutemen, los vigilantes, las casas migrantes, la migra. Es para ir un poco más de esto, para pararlo, para enfrentarlo y para construir una comunidad de autonomía o una justicia. Y no para practicar de la derecha, de la izquierda, derecha, izquierda. No, nosotros estamos en acuerdo de son malos para los que quieran vivir con dignidad y quieran mover sin fronteras y para las familias. Entonces, ¿cómo podemos discutir qué hacer un mundo posible donde no hay fronteras, donde no hay violencia de la frontera en nuestras comunidades? So it's a strategy session. It's an encuentro. So some things that we take for granted here, or that we try to all agree upon, or not agree upon, but respect, is that we think the border itself is an act of violence. We think it's an act of violence among the communities, and we don't want to talk about how to, or what's right, what's wrong, all these things, but how to really confront violence. Today we're going to have panels on people working on these issues and people struggling in multiracial, indigenous, international, local strategies, basically. We're going to have people talking about the history of the border, the history of border violence, and the history of those who are fighting for human rights. We're going to have an indigenous panel, people talking about cross-border indigenous struggles. We're going to have direct action trainings to talk about how to take action to stop vigilantes, how to take action to confront the violence at the border. And these are just suggestions. Everyone has their own suggestions, and we come here to share and to learn together. We'll also have discussions on anti-racist organizing in different communities and cross-border organizing. And creo que vamos a tener foros y talleres de acción directa para parar los Minutemen o los que quieran hacer violencia. Y hay dos foros o talleres de acción directa, una introducción y un para la próxima paso. Y también hay talleres y foros de las comunidades indígenas que luchar en diferentes regiones cerca de la frontera, o en California, o en México y California también. Y también hay una lectura sobre organizando contra el racismo en múltiples comunidades. So I think that's a short introduction of what we do. I'm part of the Organic Collective. My name is Anto. Some of us are around here. We are a local collective working for 2 years on confronting the violence at the border, usually doing direct action and education. How to take action, think about it, critique it, take more, and it's always a back and forth, a feedback loop. We try to constantly engage each other and how to really be effective in this region. So if you have any questions, you can come to me or someone else or anyone up here for, where's the bathroom, where are the exits. Some more logistical information. If you want to sell things, please come talk to us about it, and there's a table for selling things. If you want to take a break and go outside and relax, that's fine. If you want to go into your own corner and do whatever you want, it's a lot of safe spaces here. We hope no one feels threatened. Thank you for coming.
My name is Ellie, and I've been working with Gente Unida and the Organic Collective for just a few months. And I want to say welcome, and I want to give you a little bit of information about of what's coming up.
Hola, ¿qué tal? Me llamo Ellie. Yo trabajo con Organic Collective. He estado trabajando con ellos por algunos meses. Les quiero dar a todos la bienvenida y explicarles un poquito sobre lo que vamos a hacer el día de hoy.
Today we're going to try to get a lot done. And in order to do that, we need to keep our comments short and thoughtful. This isn't a place for us to go on and on about our own political ideas, but to share and to strategize.
Tenemos mucho en el programa de hoy y por lo tanto debemos mantener breves nuestros comentarios y realmente que hayan sido bien analizados. No debe ser un debate de cuáles son nuestras visiones políticas.
The last thing that I want to say is that there's been amazing organizing going on for the last few months against the Minutemen, but there's also been amazing organizing going on in San Diego and in this region for hundreds of years. And so I just want us to remember today that this is part of a longer struggle that's going to go on for a very long time.
Ha habido muchísima organización en los últimos meses en contra de los cazamigrantes, pero realmente esto es parte de una lucha que ha sido centenaria y tenemos que recordar que es solamente un segmento y una parte de esto.
And that said, I want to let you know that some fabulous organizers from Gente Unida have been in Mexicali for the last, in Calexico actually, for the last couple of days and have some very exciting news to report about what they've been able to do. And I'm very optimistic about our ability to stop the Minutemen in September. And so get excited.
Bien, habiendo dicho eso, les quiero decir que el grupo de Gente Unida ha estado en Mexicali y tienen algunas cosas, algunas noticias muy interesantes para reportar en cuanto a las actividades ahí. Y realmente yo me siento sumamente optimista con respecto a nuestra posibilidad para detener a los cazamigrantes en septiembre.
And now Michael's going to tell you what is next.
Hi, I'm with the Organic Collective as well. So, I just have some boring logistical announcements. So, the first announcement is that you're probably all registered at the front desk, but in particular, if you want to do media, like if you want to do video or audio recordings, or if you want to sell anything, then you need to particularly register for that and just let us know that that's going to happen.
¿Qué tal? Yo también estoy con la colectiva orgánica y sencillamente tengo algunos asuntos logísticos aburridos de los cuales hablar. El primero sería en cuanto al registro. Espero que todos ya se hayan registrado aquí el día de hoy, pero en particular si quieren ustedes participar en los medios de comunicación, grabar video, algo así, o vender algo, entonces realmente deben de registrarse, por favor.
Okay, and the next short announcement is you should have all gotten programs. If not, there's programs available, and we're going to have lunch later in the day. Like, I guess now everything's probably half an hour behind, so maybe 2:30 will be lunch.
Tenemos los programas, están disponibles, espero que todos hayan recibido algunos. Estamos un poquito atrasados porque hemos empezado una media hora tarde, pero más o menos como a las 2:30 de la tarde será la hora del almuerzo.
Okay. So I guess I'll do the last two together, and they're very short also. One is that if you have a cell phone, is obvious, right? But during the panels, please make sure it's on vibrate or just off. It's a little reminder. And the last thing is that we are going to have translation available all throughout the day. We're probably not going to do simultaneous translation like this. I mean, we're not going to do translation like this unless it's absolutely necessary. Probably won't be. So if you need translation in the panel you're in, let us know. We'll be asking if you need translation and it'll be available.
Bien, por último, solamente les quiero recordar que si tienen teléfono celular, por favor lo pongan en la posición de vibrar o apáguenlo, particularmente durante los talleres. Y también les queríamos hacer saber que si cualquier persona necesita traducción, va a haber traducción. Sería por lo menos en la mañana, si la estoy proporcionando yo, sería simultánea, así que si prefieren traducción al español, en cualquier momento nomás avísenme. Gracias.
Okay. And so now that we are late enough already, we're going to go ahead and start this panel here about the history of the border and border enforcement and Operation Gatekeeper in this room right here. And if you want to go to the intro to direct action, it's like a 1 hour what is direct action sort of discussion. That will be downstairs. So now maybe if anybody's going to go to that, we can just take a few minutes to do that.
Bien, pues entonces vamos a empezar con el panel que se trata sobre la historia de aquí de la frontera, la aplicación de la ley en la frontera y la operación Guardián. Y quienes deseen participar en el otro taller con respecto a acciones directas va a ser en otro cuarto abajo. Gracias.
So I guess we'll get started. So like I said, this panel is the history of the border and Operation Gatekeeper and border enforcement. And we'll be hearing from Roberto Martinez and Enrique Morones and Christian Ramirez. And they'll do short intros of themselves. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. My name's Roberto Martinez. I'm immigrant rights activist. I've been an immigrant rights, Chicano and immigrant rights activist for over 30 years. I was with the American Friends Service Committee as director of the border program for 20 years. And I've been retired since 2001. But I remained active with the American Friends Service Committee, with Border Angels and Gente Unida. So as you can see, retirement hasn't settled in yet. hopefully it won't for another few years. But what I've been doing, one of the things I've been doing since I retired is traveling throughout the Southwest and writing a book about the history of the border as it relates to my family, which goes back five generations to the West Texas border areas of the Southwest. And during those trips and interviews on both sides of the border, I have uncovered a lot of things that are still shocking to me, even though I know they exist and continue to exist. And if one thing has remained constant on the U.S.-Mexico border in its 150-year history, is that people have been dying on the border, either through the war with Mexico, racism, or violence. And beginning with the Texas Rangers in the 1830s, then with the war, then with the U.S. Border Patrol, and vigilantes have always been there. Some of the worst atrocities that occurred against the Mexican people during the war with Mexico were committed by the military and what they called then volunteers from different states. And these volunteers accompanied the military along the border and raped, robbed, and massacred Mexicans on both sides of the border. And what I find interesting is that recently Robert Bonner, the commissioner for the U.S. Border Patrol in Washington, D.C., actually proposed to the Homeland Security to legitimize the Minuteman Project and legitimize volunteers to use on the border, to patrol the border and be the eyes and ears, so as he put it, for the Border Patrol. So I think it's safe to say that the volunteers from 150 years ago were probably the first vigilantes, because they were legitimized by the government and by the military. and committed some of the worst atrocities. And on the U.S.-Mexico border during that period. And interestingly enough, these same conditions exist today. The militarization of the border, the vigilantes, the racism, the violence that continue to occur on the U.S.-Mexico border as they did 150 years ago. Another subject that would explain a lot of this would take another hour, and that is the history of the Texas Rangers and how they were used back in the 1830s. They were created to protect ranchers, to hunt runaway slaves, and to control the Mexican population. And also, interestingly enough, back up the expulsion of the Mexican people from their properties so that settlers could take over their land. And many of these Mexican people, those who weren't run across the border into Mexico, were lynched or murdered so that their land could be confiscated by the Americans who were swarming throughout the Southwest at that time in the Southwest expansion. And in my notes I put Texas Rangers, no justice, because today the same thing exists with the U.S. Border Patrol, violence and no justice. It was okay to lynch Mexicans back then, and nobody was punished, just like today. A lot of the violence that has taken place over the last 20 years in the shootings, rapes, and murders of Mexicans have been by the U.S. Border Patrol, and there has never been any justice. None have ever been punished, and that's the situation today. That's a whole other topic, is the criminal justice system, how it discriminates and has discriminated against the poor, the Mexicans, and the disenfranchised of this country, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. Just like today, police are shooting Mexicans right and left in North County and South County, and they will be exonerated. There won't be any punishment. The district attorney will approve the findings of the police department and the sheriff's department. Just like in the federal government, no Border Patrol has ever been indicted, very rarely, for rape, murder, or just shooting and beating migrants crossing the border. So nothing has changed in 150 years. And as you'll be hearing today about the Operation Gatekeeper, which is a continuation of the militarization of the border. And let's face it, you know, we have militarization of the border because we have a failed immigration policy in the United States that does not address the root cause of immigration, only the effects of immigration. And so people are going to continue coming to the United States for two reasons. And the only two reasons is to jobs and to be with their families. They've kind of not committed a federal crime by crossing the border. You know, it should not be a capital offense or a death sentence across the border, and yet people continue to die. And we hold President Clinton and President Bush for allowing this to continue for over 10 years and over 3,000 people died on the border. Anywhere else, I think these two presidents would be charged with crimes against humanity, because this does not exist anywhere else. Thank you.
Gracias, Roberto. And Roberto is very modest, but without a doubt, he is the godfather of human rights in this region, and he's been working on this for decades. And many of us look up to Roberto today, and have always looked up to Roberto for his guidance and his leadership. Muchas gracias, Roberto. My name is Enrique Morones, and I have an organization which is called Border Angels, or Ángeles de la Frontera, and there's some information of it in the back. And we're a faith-based humanitarian organization, and our mission statement is, if I was hungry, did you give me to eat? If I was thirsty, did you give me to drink? And we got started through the church back in the 1980s, and now it's just blossomed and developed into a much larger organization of about 1,200 volunteers. Some of you in this room have joined us in the past. And we were very active with the Minuteman situation in April in Arizona, and when we came back, many of us in this room got together and formed a broader-based human rights coalition of which now there's over 50 organizations participating in, is called Gente Unida. And Gente Unida has been very active, as was mentioned in the introduction, in especially here in Campo, California, and in the efforts against the first wave of Minutemen and this latest series of Minutemen activities, which took place July 16th through August 7th. And we know there's another group coming on, actually Jim Chase is coming back September 11th, and then the Friends of the Border Patrol are coming September 16th, and then Jim Gilchrist is coming October 1st. I'm also involved with the Institute of Mexicans Abroad, which is an organization that President Fox put together, in which six commissions were established, and I head up the Border Commission. It's an advisory group for the Mexican government, and the one that I head up deals with border issues. And we were involved, for example, in El Guía del Migrante Mexicano. And El Guía del Migrante Mexicano is not a guide that the Mexican government put together to tell people how to cross the border. It's a guide to tell people that, first of all, they should cross legally, but if they do make that difficult decision to cross in the desert or try to come across a canal or something along those lines, it is very dangerous, and it tells people how to stay alive. Something very similar to what the U.S. Border Patrol has done. They have the same thing in video, but I know it was misrepresented. And I also have a radio show, one in Spanish and one in English. I've taken time off from my English show called On the Record so I could concentrate my efforts on the Minutemen situation, on the racist vigilante Minutemen. But I continue with the Spanish language show, which is called Sábados con Morones, and it's in Espanol. Now, as far as the talk today, in October of 1994, as Roberto mentioned, the abuses have continued along the border and between these two countries, especially by the U.S. government. And in October of 1994, a lot of the human rights organizations told the U.S. government not to put that wall up between the United States and Mexico, because the people that have been crossing from Mexico to the United States have been doing so for hundreds of years. And they didn't listen. They said that by putting up a wall between San Diego and Tijuana, which is called Operation Gatekeeper, the flow would stop and that people would stop coming. And we said that's absolutely ridiculous, because in the first place, we never crossed the border. The border crossed us, and the people have been coming for hundreds of years, and they're looking for work. These are economic migrants that are coming into this country. Well, they did put up that wall, as we all know, and tragically, when a dozen people were dying before 1994 every year, now there's this year already 380 people that have died this fiscal year, which still has another month. And there's been 3,300 people that have died since Operation Gatekeeper started in October of 1994. 16,500 people are incapacitated. People like Jose Luis Cisneros, who had crossed, he was living in without documents in Boulevard, California. Three American youths, teenagers, said, let's beat up some beaners today and kill some beaners. They found Jose Luis Cisneros. They almost beat him to death. Thank God they didn't kill him, but he can never work again. So there's 16,500 people like that, either by violence, hate crimes like that incident, where the three kids are now free, or their car flipped over and they're paralyzed, like three people that happened to them about 3 months ago, or they're beat up by the authorities on either side of the border. So it's a tragic situation. And we say 16,500 and 3,300 deaths, but we think the numbers are much higher than that. There was a cover story on the cover of the Los Angeles Times 3 weeks ago, and it talked about the Dominguez family. It's a touching story, and it talks about how Mr. Cesarino Dominguez went looking for his daughter because his daughter had died crossing the border. And a lot of the people that have died crossing the border are unidentified. We know of 3,300 that are registered deaths, but a third of them are unidentified. Well, those deaths are just as important as anybody else's, and I cannot imagine the horror in wondering if your child made it, your wife made it, your daughter made it, and he wanted to find out if they made it. So he went looking for her in the deserts of Arizona, where now you have 52% of the deaths. Before when Operation Gatekeeper started in 94, the first 7 years, the majority of the deaths were in California. The last 3.5 years, the majority of the deaths are in Arizona, especially since 9/11. Much more border enforcement, stronger militarization of the border, the fact that the smugglers know that there's other places to cross that are easy to cross, easier to cross, so now they're heading a lot to Altar and Sasabe, Sonora, to cross into Arizona, even though it's very, very dangerous to cross any of those areas. Well, Mr. Cesarino Dominguez, before he found his daughter, which he ended up finding her, he found three other bodies out in the desert. So Cesarino Dominguez, just this summer, found three bodies before he found his daughter. So how many bodies are really out there? I would venture to say at least three or four times as many as the 3,300, which is really tragic. And they are unidentified, but they're not forgotten. So a lot of the groups put up these crosses that says not forgotten, not identified. And in this case, you know, Cesarino Dominguez, what he has done in finding his daughter, I spoke to him about 2 weeks ago, and we're going to invite him to come to San Diego, and we'll invite Cristian and Roberto to also join us. And we're going to have a conference at the University of San Diego, and we're going to use him as the keynote speaker to bring to light this situation of the 3,300 confirmed deaths, the 16,500 people that have been incapacitated, the issue of DNA, the fact that we got to find out who these people are that have died, the issue of the desperation of the people wanting to know if their kids are alive, their husbands are alive, the issue of the unethical smugglers that abandon these people. So there's a lot of issues, and we're going to take that particular case to the International Human Rights Commission. The one of the things that's really has been a spark plug in these entire racist type of activities that are taking place right now in the United States, which this type of situation is without a doubt at an all-time high, is a lot of the racist media that you see in the United States. In San Diego, we have some terrible ones. You know, you have the San Diego Union Tribune, you have Roger Hedgecock, you have Rick Roberts, and that's horrible enough. But how about on a national basis when you have Fox National News? At least when you're watching Fox National News, you know those guys are crazy and all that kind of stuff. But now something's happened that is unbelievable, and there's a huge campaign that we've started against it, and that's Lou Dobbs on CNN. Lou Dobbs, which CNN is a mainstream station, and when you see CNN, you think that you're going to see a fair and balanced, not to use Fox's, but you're going to see something a little more fair, I should say. Well, Lou Dobbs started off, as you know, with Moneyline, just talking about, you know, financial issues. And then he started with Exporting America. And then he started doing Broken Borders. And now all he does is talk about the Mexicans and Latinos and immigrants are evil with the devil and all that. And CNN is allowing it to happen. So we're starting a massive campaign with CNN and with their president, Jonathan Klein, to get Lou Dobbs off the air. He should be on Fox National News. We've got to get rid of that guy. Because what happens with Lou Dobbs is, here I am, a person that lives in Kansas or something, and I'm watching CNN, and then all of a sudden I start seeing this Lou Dobbs stuff, you start thinking it's real. Chicano News Media Association came out with a study a few years ago, which is still valid today. 84% of information on Latinos is negative. That comes out in the movies, TV, newspapers, etc. So you start thinking, well, Latinos must be negative. And look at the terminology that they use when they're talking about the undocumented community. Swarms, a swarm of people, illegal aliens, things like that, which is inhumane and it's inappropriate. So this has really escalated the situation with this anti-immigrant sentiment that's spreading like wildfire across the country. And people like Lou Dobbs have really sparked it. And you have, some of you are from LA. I think there's a show up there, Ken and Jerry. And so you're familiar with these types of things. And then we had a forum here in Carlsbad, which maybe Cristian could talk a little bit more about. But there's a lot of these types of activities that are taking place in which it's the climate is acceptable to definitely be attacking immigrants and to be attacking not only Latinos, African-Americans, Muslims, Jewish people of all colors and faiths, and it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong what is going on. So what we have done, the deaths continue along the border. Operation Gatekeeper is not the only wall. There's one in Arizona and one in Texas. People continue to cross the border. 2 deaths per day right now that we know of. And then we also have the situation of a new element, which is the Minutemen, which is not new like Roberto mentioned, but in April of this year, they became popular with Jim Gilchrist and Chris Simcox. And now you have a group that was just here with Jim Chase, who was kicked out of the group in Arizona because he was too radical. And he was in Campbell, California from July 15th through August 7th. We formed a coalition, like I mentioned, called Gente Unida. And there's somebody in the crowd that was out there the whole time and camping out there, risking their lives out there. And she just happened to stand at this moment, not because I mentioned her, but Micaela Salcedo, who's sitting in the back, she was out there camping the whole time. And here's a woman that's out there confronting people with shotguns and rifles and camping right by, putting her life at risk. And see, that's the type of spirit that we need. If Micaela can do it, and Vicente Rodriguez, and the people that were out there the whole time, and then there's people like American Friends Service Committee that were joining us out there, and many of us that were continuously going out there, we've got to put an end to these racist vigilantes. It's a very dangerous situation that was taking place. We were able to shut them down and force them out before they were planning to leave. But now there's another wave coming in. So it's going to come on Mexican Independence Day of my country, September 16th. And it's headed by a guy who happens to be Latino. And it's a shame that Andy Ramirez has decided to do this. I know he's not related to Cristian Ramirez, so we don't want to cause any confusion there. But Andy Ramirez is going to be, we're going to shut him down. He's going to be from Border State Park, which is the southwesternmost corner of the United States, all the way to the Imperial Valley. And we
We have plans. We have plans. Now, the officers are talking about it. I'm sure they're showing some videos of the Wet Militia Brigade and some of the affinity groups of Hector, which did a terrific job. But what we're going to be doing is we're going to be present there. Maybe Kalea and Vicente, some of the people, and several of us were already out there. We have lots of plans, lots of activities that we're going to be doing with the Minutemen wave that's coming in again, the second wave, and then the third wave comes October 1st. Just quickly, I'll list a couple of the events we have coming up, and I'll turn it over to Christian, and then we can take some questions. But we have planned on next Sunday, which is September 4th, which is the day of the migrant in the United States and in Mexico, Dia del Migrante. We're going to have a ceremony at the Holtville Cemetery. Holtville is one of the eight cities in Imperial Valley. So at 12 noon, if the migrants can be crossing in the desert sun, we can go there one day at 12 noon at the Holtville Cemetery and remember some of the 3,300 that have died. And we invite you all to come out there with us. What we're going to do is on the way out there, we're going to set up some of our stations for border angels, putting water and so forth, continue east, and then go to the Holtville Cemetery to do a ceremony at 12 noon next Sunday. The information for that figure is not listed on this, but the phone number, you can just call that phone number, which is the 977 number. I'll give you more information, or look at the information on the border angels. We'll put it on the website for border angels. Those flyers are in the back. But that'll be on Sunday, September 4th, the day of the migrant, 12 noon, Holtville Cemetery. Now remember, for your friends or yourselves, there are checkpoints. There are checkpoints to make sure that the people that come out have their papers. In other words, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so that's September 4th. September 10th, which is the following Saturday, we're going to have border angels. We're going to have a mass at Border State Park. Border State Park is in the same place. Flags and Tijuana is on the other side. And we'll be working with